Chapter 11. Justin came to and opened his eyes slowly. There was a strong shaft of light coming through the curtains. He glanced at the room and wasn't sure where he was. He sat up and looked around. The room was old-fashioned, with striped carpet and yellow curtains. It looked like something you'd find in an old people's home. It took him a moment, but he realised he was in Deborah's spare room. The door opened, and a bespectacled middle-aged man with balding hair walked in carrying a briefcase.
"Mr. Reed. Hello, I'm Dr. Jarvis. I'm glad you're awake. I was called to come check on you."
He walked around and placed his briefcase on the ground.
"I don't think you'll be drinking vodka any time soon," he chuckled.
He slipped the stethoscope on and placed the cold end to Justin's chest. He then slipped the heart rate monitor band over Justin's bicep. It inflated and Justin could feel it squeezing, getting tighter and cutting off the blood flow. He could feel his entire arm pulsing, and then it suddenly released.
"That's all fine,"
Dr. Jarvis said, ripping the Velcro band off him.
"I'm going to prescribe some painkillers. Just make sure you don't mix them with alcohol, okay?"
Justin looked forward and eventually nodded and said yes. The doctor walked out and closed the door. As he came downstairs and turned to Deborah, who was waiting at the bottom.
"He'll be fine, Mrs. Clark. I've given him something for the pain. Just make sure he rests well."
Deborah thanked the doctor and he left. She looked up the stairs towards the bedroom and sighed. She steeled herself and walked up. She knocked on the door and there was no answer, so she opened it, peering through the crack. Justin was sat up in the bed and didn't turn to look at her. She opened the door fully and entered, sitting down on the edge of the bed.
"How are you feeling?" she asked.
Justin turned to look at her. He didn't say anything and slowly turned back to look out the window.
"You gave me and Jennifer a real fright. We had to take you to the hospital to have your stomach pumped. You drank nearly an entire bottle of vodka and mixed it with pills," replied Deborah.
Justin pursed his lips.
"Don't worry. I didn't tell the doctor about the pills. I just said you drank too much."
Justin shrugged.
"Were you trying to..."
Deborah couldn't bring herself to say the words.
"I wasn't trying to kill myself. They were just some sleeping pills I had from ages ago. I thought they would help me go to sleep and forget. I didn't realise they would react with the vodka."
Deborah put out her hand, but Justin shifted away.
"Why did you bring me to your house?" he snapped.
Deborah smiled.
"So I can look after you," she replied, placing her hand on his forehead.
Justin scoffed and recoiled from her touch, turning away.
"Do you enjoy meddling in other people's lives and ruining them?"
Deborah sighed and ran her fingers through her fine red hair.
"I just can't stand seeing people waste their lives."
"Well, there's nothing for me here,"
Justin snapped.
Deborah shrugged. "You can go whenever you want, but I'm hungry. You can join me if you want."
She walked out and down the stairs. Justin sat there for a moment. Against his better judgment, he decided to get up and join Deborah downstairs. He figured it was better than being sat in that depressing room all alone. She made him some toast with jam, but he didn't have much of an appetite, so he just played with it in his hand. He felt bleak, like all the light had been taken from his life and he was just a shell of a man, sat there playing with his food.
"Aren't you going to ask me some questions?" asked Deborah.
Justin didn't look up and continued to push the sticky toast around the plate.
"What questions?" he mumbled.
Deborah shrugged.
"Oh, I don't know. You could ask me how your parents reacted, for example."
Justin shook his head and turned to the side.
"I don't care."
Deborah pursed her lips and smiled briefly.
"Right, fine. What I did was wrong. I admit it, and I am sorry, Justin,"
she said, placing her napkin down and getting up to fetch some more juice from the fridge.
"But I did it for the right reasons."
Justin turned and raised his eyebrow at her.
"You just have to give them some time," Deborah continued.
Justin shook his head.
"Why should I?"
Deborah slammed her glass down on the side and poured the juice, splashing it over the side.
"Christ! You and Andrew and others like you, you're all intolerable sometimes. You think everyone should just accept it so easily. It doesn't work like that."
She sat down and thumped her fist into the table. Justin looked up at her.
We sometimes need some time to think, time to cry, time to accept.
Her voice was raised and Justin shook his head again.
There's a difference, though.
Justin broke off a piece of toast and ate it.
You didn't disown Andy. You still love him and he's still in your life.
Deborah scoffed and sat back in her chair.
You really think your parents don't love you anymore? It's not as clear-cut as that, you young fool.
She shook her head and took a swig of her juice.
They hate me, Justin said. My dad said I'd disgust him.
Deborah sat forward in her chair and paused for a moment. She tapped her fingers on the table and took a couple of deep breaths before leaning forward again.
Why don't you try and speak to your mother? Tell her all the things you told me, about how you feel, about Jennifer. It's ridiculous that I know so much about you and she knows so little.
Justin looked up at her, appreciating her tough love attitude. To be honest, I wish my mum was more like you, he said, smiling. Deborah leant across the table and smacked him in the head.
Don't say things like that. Just take a step back and think about what she's going through from her perspective.
Justin recoiled and rubbed his head. No thanks. I don't want to think like she does. The phone rang and Deborah shook her head again.
I bet that's him now, Andrew. Disappearing for 2 days and not calling me to tell me he's okay.
She walked over to the phone and picked it up.
Well, it's about time, Andrew.
She stopped for a second and Justin carried on eating his toast.
Oh, hello, Diane. Sorry, I thought it was someone else.
Justin's head whipped around when he heard his mum's name.
Can you give me a second, please?
Said Deborah. She put her hand over the end of the phone and leant around the door.
It's your mother. Do you want to speak to her?
Justin dropped his toast and walked out of the room. Deborah watched him scurry away and removed her hand from the phone.
Yes, he's staying here at the moment, but he's not in right now, she said.
She listened and raised her eyebrow.
Oh, okay. Yes, of course. Where?
She grabbed the notepad and wrote down an address.
All right, I can be there in about half an hour.
She put the phone down and picked up her coat. She looked around for Justin, but he was nowhere to be seen. She grabbed her car keys and headed out. She arrived outside the train station of Oldham, a small town just outside Bristol. Next to the train station was a depressing cafe with a faded, dirty sign outside. Deborah checked the address and made her way inside. The interior was murky with not much lighting. The tables were draped with scabby tablecloths dotted around the place with a confusing mishmash of different chairs. The floor was slightly sticky, and the smell of stale coffee hung in the air. Dan was sat over in the corner table, pan-faced and hunched over a cup of coffee. Deborah approached her, and the two of them exchanged some awkward pleasantries. A moment passed in silence, and Dan started to sniffle.
I just don't know what to think, said Dan,
her hands trembling against the coffee mug.
I can't accept that Justin is, you know... It's against God's will. It's against everything we know,
she said, rubbing her eyes with the back of her hand.
But I also don't want to lose him.
Deborah put her hand on Diane's. Her voice was so soothing, like being wrapped in a warm blanket.
Diane, he doesn't want to lose you either.
She looked at Diane, gazing down at her lukewarm coffee.
Can you really just abandon your child because he's different?
Diane's shoulders started to shake, and she began to well up, sniffing and wiping her eyes with a handkerchief.
How did you accept it?
Diane asked. She began to cry louder, and Deborah walked around and sat next to Diane, wrapping her arm around her.
It was hard for me too, Diane. I spent many nights crying and wondering what I did wrong. I'm a woman of faith too, she said, touching the crucifix necklace she was wearing. I wanted grandchildren too. The normal life and the thought of my son with another man, it's something I couldn't bear to think about.
Diane sniffed and wiped her eyes again.
See, you're like us. We don't have anything against those people. There are people like that who come into our shop and we're always kind to them.
Deborah rubbed her arm on Diane's back.
Yes, but they aren't your children, she said. The problem is... You can't help who you fall in love with.
Deborah stared out of the window, looking at the trains arriving and departing, spurting plumes of smoke as they did so. The grey clouds outside made it feel even darker and gloomier than the atmosphere around the table.
"I came to realise that I couldn't lose my child," Deborah continued. "It doesn't matter what I believe. I just want him to be happy. Don't you feel the same?"
Diane just looked out the window and said nothing. She stared back at her cold coffee and sat there in silence. After a long conversation, the two ladies left and walked back towards the train station, arm in arm. Diane's face was pale, but under her eyes was bright red. She still clung to the handkerchief, now damp from her tears. They arrived at the platform and stood, waiting. Deborah turned to Diane.
"Do you know that Justin and Andrew broke up?"
Diane shrugged and looked the other way.
"I don't care. They made their own mess."
Deborah shook her head.
"Diane, I don't know what you expect me to say, to be honest," she said, pulling away from her. "You asked me to meet you here to talk, yet you don't care."
Diane didn't turn around.
"It's against God's will."
Deborah rolled her eyes and sighed.
"At the end of the day, Diane, you have to ask yourself a question. What's more important to you, your faith or your child?"
Diane turned to face Deborah and went to open her mouth. It was exactly the same thing Tabitha had said to her. Diane feared becoming a vacant zombie like her, but she couldn't help but think what Charlie would say if he were here. Diane simply said nothing and looked the other way. Deborah shook her head and looked down at her watch.
"Sorry, but I need to get back."
She put her arm on Diane's shoulder.
"Please, think about what I said."
Deborah walked away, leaving Diane alone on the platform as the train approached. It ground to a halt and let out a large hissing noise from the engine. Diane looked back and saw Deborah get in her car. She wished she could be more like her. But what would Charlie think? She stepped up onto the train and made the journey back to her house, hoping Charlie wouldn't notice she'd been gone.